This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm getting, just so I know everybody cares so much about my headphone situation, but it's very important. And I sounds like, so I got a couple other tweets on this, and I'm appreciating the input. Because this is a big decision to make. It's a big purchase, right? It's basically like your equipment, your
like a barber tool. With bad clippers. Like plugging, yeah, you got battery clippers.
That's right. You want to make sure you have the best. So my man Karate Man Mace, Sennheiser's, he believes in that. He said Sennheiser's like is going to the real steakhouse. Other headphones like going to Outback or Longhorn.
What did Outback or Longhorn do to you? I'd draw the line at Longhorn. Now.
Burnout they also got, said Sennheiser's great for studio.
They got some good potato soup out there in Longhorn. Now, if you would have went at Applebee's,
they're not terrible,
Fridays,
but it's
you would have went at Fridays at Applebee's. That's a different story.
Yeah, but it's a great steak, a high level steakhouse is much different than going to more of a chain, right? It's a little different. I see what he's saying.
Okay, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? So I do appreciate that input. So Matt's giving me like this whole breakdown, all of the different ones. I love this. You guys are really into this. Although Matt did say the Sony Studio Monitor headphones are recommended. Love this. This is great. Now I have some stuff. I got some research to do, and maybe next week I'll get to hear your beautiful voice.
Well, I hope Anthony's writing this stuff down because we need to reach out to every one of them and see which of them got love for Bart and Han on the way on the flip side.
Yeah, definitely have to work on that part. I have no doubt about it. All right, we'll get back to the calls. But just quickly, because I asked the question going into the break. It seems pretty obvious, right, that picking a quarterback in the top three in the draft, more times than not, that quarterback isn't going to turn into a franchise-altering superstar quarterback.
Yeah.
The percentages are high that you won't.
I mean, yesterday when you watched Kyler Murray, that was not the norm. That was the exception that you see some of these guys come in, you know, first overall and live up to expectations.
Right.
You know, we're usually talking about guys that were taken later in the draft that kind of outplays everybody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers. We don't really speak about Ben. He was the third one off that list.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you talk
in the draft,
about.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about Carson Wentz and talk about, you know, golf. I can go to Andre Ware. I can go back to a lot of, like I said, Ponder, Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Bortles. Like all these guys that were taken high, they just, man, couldn't play dead in country western. And then, you know, you look at guys like Russell Wilson. You look at Tom Brady. You know, you look at Drew Brees. These are all guys that were taken second, you know what I mean, the second round, fourth round. Guys that ascended, you know. So sometimes what's built lasts longer than what's born. So, you know, you got all this hype with Brady Quinn. I can keep going. You can just go down the Cleveland line just by itself. Whether you want to go Baker Mayfield, you want to go Johnny Manziel, you want to go Brady Quinn, you want to go Tim Couch. You can just go down that line for, like, top quarterbacks taken early that didn't pan out. Just go to Cleveland.
Yeah, that's
or go to Buffalo.
I'd rather not, but okay. You got the Terry Bradshaw. You know, I mean, you got John Elway. You got Aikman. Yeah, I want guys that won, right? Give me the guys that changed everything. You know, Cam got Carolina pretty far, but
yeah, early on,
yeah.
But I mean, go. I mean, what J.P. Lossman? What's the dude from Florida State that couldn't play and they got rid of him? I forget his name. Black kid.
I'm looking at, I mean, there's some other names here when you see Tim Couch.
Yeah, Tim Couch, Brady Quinn. Just go to Cleveland. Tim Couch, Brady Quinn, Johnny Manziel. Just keep going. Just stay in Cleveland.
You mentioned Carson Palmer. I mean, I'm looking at these here. Mike Vick, you know, had a run, but, you know, Drew Bledsoe.
I mean, you got Jake Plummer, Charlie Batch.
Testaverde, you know, so I. There's ones that were pretty good. Then there's some that just, you know, that's a pick you can't get back.
And you got Mariota right now.
Jameis Winston is one of those guys, and we're gonna talk about that. You know what?
Yes.
Let's do that right now. Blitz or Prevent? Let's go.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
I'm gonna start with that game since we were talking about it. Let's go ahead and start with that game. So Falcons at Saints. Falcons are 3-6. They played a lot better. since Raheem Morris took over. Their defense better, everything else. Saints at 7-2. It's a 1 o'clock game, and the Saints are favored by 4. I believe it's still 4, right? Has the line moved? Because now that they've made the announcement official, so it did move? What's the line now? Do we know? All right, we'll check. So anyway, Drew Brees out, as we know. Sean Payton announced this morning that his Wildcat slash specialist, Taysom Hill,
right,
who has made 5 passing attempts all season, he's going to start instead of Jameis Winston, who was 6-for-10 with 63 yards passing Sunday against the 49ers after Brees was injured. Winston was brought in to back up Brees and perhaps be groomed to replace him, right? So Winston is in a weird place in his career now. I mean, 6 years after being the number one pick, 1 year after he threw for a career-high 5,100 yards and 33 touchdowns at the age of 25, he was replaced by a 43-year-old.
Yeah, well,
and then he was relegated to backing up another 40-year-old quarterback. All right, I'm talking about two of the greats here of all time, obviously, yeah. Brady and Brees. But Winston also threw an incredible 30 interceptions last year, so I get it.
Don't now, the 12 fumbles.
Yeah, now the Falcons are a different team, like I said, and New Orleans needs this win with or without Brees. It's a curious decision. So, Blitzer Prevent, I can't believe Peyton chose Hill over Winston, but does this say something about their future? Will they need to get into the quarterback market this offseason?
Not at all. And then, come on, man, this is the biggest pump fake ever. This is talking about, you know, putting your teammate in banana, I mean, making your opponent the banana in the tailpipe. Because technically, if Taysom Hill takes the first snap, whether it's a shot down the field, it's going to be some gadget shot down the field where they think it's going to be a run. They're trying to get a cheap touchdown. Or, you know, he hands the ball off. We all know that, so you know Jameis Winston's first, coming right in afterwards. So
this is the first series. So is he an opener? Is this like a Tampa Bay Rays thing?
Exactly. He's an opener. This is what they're trying. And Sean Payton's just trying to screw with people and make them prepare for that, have to prepare for all this option, triple option, wildcat type of offense. And then they're just going to play Jameis Winston and let him in. Because guess what? If you believed in Taysom Hill, who you gave $17 million, you never even bring Jameis Winston in. That third quarterback would have been somebody that was making zero. He would have been a guy that was young and somebody that was holding a clipboard, not a capable backup to replace Drew Brees. Last year, how much did they believe in Taysom Hill last year when Drew Brees got hurt and they brought in Teddy Bridgewater? So don't give me that whole stuff. It's going to be a combination of two. He's going to have his gadget plays. And I always, you know, I was on the phone with, we're on the show today, and Rossini was talking all this stuff. They believe that he's this quarterback. Bro, the dude is 30. At this point, the dude is 30 years old.
I heard you.
I was 30, I was in my 8th or 9th year. So if this dude ain't started for nobody else but you, if he only throw him 5 passes this year, all of a sudden, he ain't got no Steve Young future. They look at him like Steve Young. Yeah, right. If you had Steve Young, you would never bring in Jameis Winston or Teddy Bridgewater. You would just start damn Steve Young. So miss me with all this Taysom Hill. He's great. He's Tim Tebow at best or Brad Smith at best. Let's quit trying to act like this dude's some type of super quarterback. He's a gadget guy. He's a situational football player. Jameis Winston is playing for his future of his career. He is a good quarterback. He just messed up in the head sometimes. He's trying to eat wins, and he's eating L's and eating I's, which is INTs, because that's what he's throwing. So if this is an interesting game. This is my upset of the week. I know I roll with the Falcons all this time, but I'm rolling with them again because they're playing a lot better, and we know that they can put up points. If they want to play this dink and dunk, try and make Taysom Hill come down and kill you death by 1,000 paper cuts, then go ahead with it, because guess what? Matty Ice is going to be going deep to Julio Jones, going deep to Ridley, going deep to Hayden Hurst. So you're going to have to get Jameis back in his comfort zone. He's going to have to drop back and let that thing fly. And if he does that, is it the good Jameis or is it the bad Jameis? Just like you got Fist Magic, Fist Tragic, you got Jameis and you got Sheamus.
Yeah, you were on fire this morning on Get Up. That's the reason why I put this game into Blitzer Prevent. I was hoping that I'd get that same energy, and I did. You didn't let me down. I love it. Now, keep your level right where it is as we continue. The next game is Packers, who are 7-2 at Colts, 6-3, a 4:25 kickoff. Colts favored by just a point and a half, I should say. So it's an important game for both teams in the standings, obviously. But some players just need to find that extra motivation. And Colts linebacker Darius Leonard apparently has found his. Have you heard this? Leonard said he's been looking forward to facing Aaron Rodgers ever since he found out that Rodgers called the 49ers' Fred Warner the best linebacker in the NFL after the two games they had. They have two teams played on week 9 this season. So Leonard said this, quote, "You hear things like that, and it gives you extra motivation going to play. Rodgers has been in the league for a long time. For him to say that about Fred Warner, They play sometimes twice a year. So my first time, I want to leave a mark and hopefully change his mind on what he said about that. Based on the stats, he's got a point. Okay, you think about it. Leonard has 23 more tackles, 10 more sacks, 4 more forced fumbles, and 4 more interceptions in his career than Warner, who also entered the league in 2018 while playing 7 fewer games. So, blitzer prevent. I know your background as an undrafted D1 AA, you know what, made you like this too. You were the same kind of guy that just needed a reason to rip someone's head off.
Yeah,
is Leonard right?
Leonard's a habitual line stepper, first of all, and I think he has taken the mantle from Bobby Wagner as the best middle linebacker in the game. It ain't even close. So, you know, for him to say that, it's disrespect to Leonard, who's fueled by the disrespect, fueled by the hate. And I think that he's going to go out and put out a show, and the fact that Devontae Adams could be hurt. Remember that the Colts bring in the number one defense. I know we make all these glowing remarks and, you know, give all the roses and flowers to Pittsburgh, but the number one defense resides in Indianapolis. So, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to get a full dose of that. And the problem is, on the other side, their defense, Aaron Rodgers' defense, they can't stop the run. You know, I understand they're a little bit better, but they missed the opportunity, I believe, to go make a trade for Avery Williamson and get a hammer in the middle, because right now they trying to get a nail in with one of those Power Wheel hammers that's plastic. You know, they ain't gonna push no nail, drive no nail through the wood. You got to go get something else. You do better going out trying to find a brick or a rock to knock that nail through, because right now it's like Harlem Knights when they were shooting that quick, and they were shooting an assault rifle. You had to do shooting a little 38. Quit shooting that little stuff. You know, that's what the middle linebackers for Green Bay is doing. They shoot that little stuff, man. And I think that Leonard's going to take this energy, and he's going to energize his entire team with any form of disrespect.
And you just love that. You love a guy that just looks for any reason. Like, give me something that's going to put a little extra motivation.
Alvin Mack.
He found it.
Alvin Mack.
He's got those rabbit ears. There's no question about it. All right, next game. Chiefs at 8-1 against the Raiders at 6-3. It's a Sunday night game. And the Chiefs, talk about disrespect, they are favored as the road team by 8. So,
excuse me.
Hang on. I'm getting there. Can the Raiders get the season sweep? Vegas, remember, handed, as Barb was about to point out, handed KC their only loss of the season back in week 5. How about this? The last time the Raiders were able to sweep Kansas City was 2012. That was the year before Andy Reid arrived in KC. Carson Palmer was the Raiders quarterback in both games. Mm-hmm. And remember the mighty Brady Quinn, speaking of? He was the Chiefs starting quarterback in both those games. This time around, however, Andy Reid is there. Patrick Mahomes is there. They are coming off a bye week, plenty of time to prepare. And basically, you have a bad Raiders pass defense that they can pick apart if they want to. Here's a stat. Andy Reid is 18-3 coming off a bye. But while we'll focus on Mahomes and his greatness, the other quarterback in this game, Bart, needs some respect on his name, too. Mm-hmm. Derek Carr on pace for over 3,800 passing yards, 28 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, while completing 69% of his throws, and also the passer rating career high at 107, quarterback total QBR 76. He's on pace for even a career high in rushing yards at 210. And that's what his production actually going down a little bit over the last couple of games, which they've won. So, blitzer prevent, statement game for the Raiders. Andy Reid sounded annoyed, speaking of motivation, about the Raiders' buses taking a victory lap around Arrowhead after their Week 5 win. Gruden blamed it on a, quote, smart aleck bus driver. Divisional, you want emotion, but I want the Raiders to back it up. Can they?
I think they can, because, listen, this is a team that's built in the image of Al Davis and how he liked his teams built. Like I said on the show on Get Up, I like my linemen with Segalite, and they got old-school fat linemen that rolled off the football, and they make it a long day. They're not coming out here with all these fancy RPO stuff. They're coming downhill, hitting you in the mouth, and that's exactly what they did in the first game against the Chiefs. They put up, you know, you think about Josh Jacobs and what he put up. He put up 75 yards. They had about 130 yards rushing downhill, but listen, imitation is the greatest form of flattery, because if you look at that first game as well, they went out and they got the same exact weapons that you think about in Kansas City, where they went out and they got the fastest guy in the game in Ruggs, right? That's their Tyreek Hill. Then they say, you know what? We need Nelson Aguilar. He may not be able to catch, but he can run. And so they went out and got him too. And then they say, okay, Kelsey's a great tight end. Let's go out and get us one. They got Darren Waller, who's one of the best young tight ends in the game. So they're able to stretch the field and expose this average, very average Chiefs defense.
Yes.
And I think that's the, you know, you think about the first game, they held the ball, the time of possession, by almost 15 minutes. They had 35 minutes in time of possession, keeping Mahomes off the field. And they got explosive plays, a 72-yard touchdown pass to Ruggs to exploit that defense. So this is going to be interesting. And let's not overlook the little rival, or the sibling rivalry that is the ones that started with, Holmgren. They all started, Reed and Gruden started on, yes, Holmgren's staff in Green Bay, and they've always been dubbing who's the smartest, geniuses when it comes to the offense. And right now, you can say that it's pretty even though that Andy Reid's probably won more games. He's been a head coach longer. John Gruden took a time off, a nice little hiatus. But at the end of the day, they both got one Super Bowl win, and now they're in the same division. So let's play it out on the football field.
Should be interesting, and I love the emotion, even the pettiness of just taking the bus around the building. Like, stuff like that is great. Keep an eye on that game for sure. All right, last but not least, this doesn't sound like a big game or any importance, but locally, I think it will be. Eagles at 3-5-1, at Browns at 6-3. 1 o'clock, Browns at home, favored just by 3. This game carries a lot of weight for both teams. For the Eagles, it's obvious. They have to get out of this funk. And they got to keep themselves from being pulled into the NFC East abyss, dragged down into the muck and mire with the rest of the dregs of this division. Carson Wentz also feeling more heat. He can rest a little bit easier knowing Myles Garrett will not play because he was placed on the COVID reserve list. Meanwhile, Browns are still fighting for a wild card spot and could jump into second place in the division if, dare I say, the Ravens lose to the Titans. Some history now. Browns are 0-5 against the Eagles since returning to the NFL in 1999. Can you believe this? The only team they haven't beaten since returning is Philadelphia. The last Browns win against the Eagles came in 1994. 1994, Bart. You know who was coaching the team back then?
Bill Belichick.
That would be correct. And there was no snap face. There was no Insta-chat. Mark Rippon, by the way, was the starting quarterback, in case you're wondering. So, Blitz and Prevent. Our beloved Anthony Pusick will not admit this. But he and many other Giants fans will be watching this game and rooting hard for the Browns. Actually, we all are. Just to see the NFC East in complete chaos. Aren't you? Aren't you rooting for this?
And, I mean, you think about last week, Nick Chubb coming back, all he did was rush for well over 100 yards. Kareem Hunt rushed for over 100 yards. And Baker Mayfield didn't have to do much. This is a tale of two quarterbacks that have become question marks for their organization. Now, you think about Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is tied in. He's locked in as a quarterback as he got his contract. But, the Browns still have to make a decision of if they're going to pick up the option for Baker Mayfield. And I think right now the answer is no. And I think a lot of this is dependent on if he can get in the playoffs and if he can do something. Because you talk about, the race for the wild card, you got the Raiders there as well, but you got the Ravens as well, and those 7 teams are going to go, so you're going to get 4 from each one. If the Ravens and the Raiders get it, then it only leaves one spot potentially for the Cleveland Browns or the Indianapolis Colts, because you think of, or the Tennessee Titans. So listen, you can have a 10-win season and not be in the playoffs when they have expanded playoffs.
You better wrap it up.
So that's what we have to worry about. Because you could have a 10-win team in the AFC and not make the playoffs.
And a
just slappy 6-win team out of the NFC East take the division. That's what makes this game so interesting. And again, if you're a Giants fan, you're not going to want to admit it. No, I don't care. I don't care. You care. A little bit of you is going to be watching going, huh, wait, there is a chance. And by the way, Washington's playing. They could win. Dallas also is playing. So this good thing luck, could get real luck, interesting good and luck, just Dallas. Be a complete disaster. And I'm certainly here for it. Before we do audio files, let's grab a couple calls. We got people that have waited on hold for a while. Let's go with, Chris in Bayville has been on a bit. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
What's up, Chris?
How you doing? How you doing, Mark? I hope everybody's having a great day. I want to talk to you real quick about a pickup the Knicks did, which I'm really happy about. I don't know if you're familiar with the name Miles Powell out of my alma mater.
Stop 1 second. Did you just call this show and ask Allen Hine if he was familiar with anybody that dribbles a basketball?
Did you listen yesterday?
Alan, you better know him, Alan. You better know him.
Did you listen yesterday? Because we did talk about it extensively.
I missed it. I'm sorry. But Chris, I got so excited for the
I tell you what, Chris, this is what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you, you get one mulligan, hang up, go right to the app, find the podcast, listen to it, and then you can call back and tell me what you think about what I said. Love it. That's how we do it here. John in Queens. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. I'm super positive about the Knicks, and I just want to put something in perspective for you real quick. Mm-hmm. So my first childhood memories come when I was seven, and I can remember Allen Houston hitting the quote-unquote running jumper, Larry Johnson's four-point play. And then
stop right there. Stop right there. You stop right there. Yeah. You were 7 years old in 1999?
No. I was 7 years old in 1999. Those are my first childhood memories, you know? So I call you guys every day that I can, and I get on with you guys. But for 22 years since, I've watched us trade in no particular order. We've traded for Eddie Curry, Jamal Crawford, Steve Francis, Marbury and Penny Hardaway, Carmelo, McDyess, mm-hmm. Bargnani. Mm-hmm. Right? So we can dissect all of those and why they were all terrible,
yeah, I'd rather
right?
not.
Right. So that being said, when was the last time the Knicks didn't make a sexy trade, you know? When was the last time that you saw the Knicks win a trade? Ever since the Marcus Morris deal, we've won three trades in a row now, you know? So now we're taking on dead contracts.
The main thing here, John, is that, you know, as you're going through the history of bad, you know, bad moves that were made, you got to understand these are all different people. Like, it's not the same guy, same people running the organization making these trades. So, correct. You know, you can't, like, I'm with you. Like, I look at the same thing. Like, I keep saying, prioritize a point guard, please, because that hasn't happened in a very, very, very long time. When was the last time a Knick point guard started consecutive seasons, was the majority starter for consecutive seasons? So let's get one. But I don't know how you get one because there aren't many available. You know, and you're talking about, I know you were trying to do, you were trying to tell me how positive you are about the moves that you're seeing being made over the last, there hasn't been many, but I guess you're talking about the Ed Davis trade. You know, Marcus Morris, yeah, you know, you got a first-round pick for it, and that pick eventually turned into Emmanuel Quickley, who's, you know, a combo guard from Kentucky that you hopefully will become something that is useful in your rotation. So you're feeling good about it. It's great. But just like I said, I'm sorry I'm going to be the wet blanket. You have $40 million in cap space to spend. There's really not a lot out there for you to get. So I don't want you to start expecting something amazing. Anthony Davis is staying with the Lakers.
So tell me this.
Gordon Hayward wants to go to the Pacers. He doesn't like the Knicks are a good leverage for him, but he wants to go to the Pacers.
Or the Nuggets maybe?
Well, the Pacers.
Okay.
So, you know, like there's not a lot out there. So just wait and see. And the Russell Westbrook stuff, as I told you, we talked a lot about it a week and 2 weeks ago about how it's a possibility things could happen. Then then it became like close to reality. Kick the tires. It's not a front burner thing anymore. It's just not. So I know everybody's waiting for like this day where it's like, oh my God, the Knicks just got like three all-stars. It's not happening.
Can I ask you something, Alan?
Yeah. Okay,
what's the play? So let's just say they stay put, right? They find some serviceable point guard, whatever. Is the play to wait during the trade deadline for somebody that's not going to be, you know, like their future? I wouldn't say like a DeMar DeRozan or anybody like that, but I'm just saying somebody that's disgruntled, maybe trade for them or absorb their contract and try and maybe get a star that's disgruntled. So yeah,
you want to be set up for that. I'll tell you what, it's a great question, Bar, and the best way I can answer it is this way, is what you want to do, because everybody made a big deal about how this draft, it became like, a CAA guy and a Kentucky guy. Okay, fine. If that's going to be the MO, fine. But if that's the case, then every CAA client and every Kentucky player who, you know, might want to move on from their situation, who's a star, if you don't know about it, right, that you, if anyone should know what could be coming from anyone who's either a CAA client or a Kentucky player, the Knicks should know because of their relationships, right? So use them to your advantage. So those who bring, like De'Aaron Fox, is his future, is he for long in Sacramento? Or would they be looking to trade him? Is he looking to get out of there? You should know. He's a Kentucky guy. I would think the relationship's pretty much entrenched there. You would know about that. So that's what you're hoping, is that if somebody along those lines is ready to make a move, but it's not this weekend, maybe it's not till, like you said, the trade deadline, you have to have assets in place to make that move. you have to have the patience to make that move. So I'm just saying, you want to mock the relationship, go ahead, because it is kind of funny that it's really, it's all they do is a Kentucky guy or a CA guy. Well, that's fine. But now I want to see, use it to your advantage. So let's just keep an eye on this. Keep an eye on whoever might be somebody who's a CAA client or a Kentucky product, and they're not happy in their situation and they're a star player. And if there's somebody like that and it's ready, they're ready to move on, well, there you go. That's the move you need to be prepared for, and that's what you do. You collect some assets, you keep your cap space flexible, and you get ready. If you're asking me, what are you looking for? That's what I'm looking for. I want to see the move that no one saw coming, but they knew about because of their intel and their relationships. Then you'll get that little, you'll get that high-pitched, excited voice, like when I'm talking about one of my winning teams, which is, yeah, never. When I'm excited talking about the Islanders when they got to the conference final. How about that? All right, let's get to, quickly, to audio files.
The audio file.
All right, Bart, so last night, you know what showed up last night for the Seahawks? Defense.
Ooh, they were the Legion. They had no boom.
A little bit of boom. A little bit of boom last night. And they get the win 28-21 over the Cardinals Thursday Night Football. So their defense against a really good offense and Kyler Murray and obviously the Cardinals, they held up against them. Pete Carroll talked about his beleaguered defense.
It felt like the Seahawks, you know. It felt like the Seahawks that we've all seen over the years. Carlos did a great job tonight. He did exactly what we needed. We needed him to run hard and run tough, knock people backwards and make extra yards with you know, his juice. And the guys up front responded with him. You know, I don't know, we had 80 yards or something like that. That was a really good contribution to this effort tonight. And it balanced us out, just like we talked about. Russ didn't have to throw for 400 yards to have a big night. He had a big night throwing for, you know, just under 200.
Hold up. He said Carlos, but I thought he was talking about the star to get the day was to Carlos. Was Carlos Dunlap? That was to Carlos I was talking about.
He was my Carlos Hyde, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, baby.
You see the one play where they did get the easy touchdown because Jamal got sucked in again?
Yeah. He's
cheating. Like, how many times when you were a Jets fan did you watch Jamal, like, just kind of cheat in? The quarterback saw it and just completely exposed
too
him.
Too often. He was looking at Murray and he had a cross rod behind him and threw it right over his head. And but I tell you what, Carlos Dunlap. And it's funny because I don't know if you guys realize, but I saw a sighting that I hadn't saw in a long time. Oh. But it looked like my man ate a whole baby. You know, I'm looking at snacks and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if highlighter green is your color, dude. That is just accentuating, you know, the big boiler on your tum-tum.
Oh my God. All right, moving on. So Andy Dalton has been through some stuff, right? He had a concussion. There's probably not a lot you remember from having a concussion. But he also was on the reserve COVID-19 list and had to deal with that. And he talked about what that experience was dealing with COVID.
COVID, you know, it hit me hard the first day that I had it, and then it gradually started feeling better. And then by the end of it, I was ready to get out of quarantine and get back up here.
Well, he's got to get back to it, right? Like, you really want to see what... I mean, dude, Dallas wins one game, and they could win against Minnesota. If one game, and then all of a sudden, they've got three wins, and in that division... No? Am I wasting my time
there? Man, I don't know. This division's crazy, man. Who you got?
Like, you have no energy at all for this, so I'm just going to move on to the very next thing, and that isn't the basketball side of things. So we were just talking with your callers. We had a lot of callers talking with everybody about the Knicks and their plans as free agency begins at 6 o'clock today. So why not go to the expert, the man, Woj, on SportsCenter. So what are the Knicks' plans, Woj?
Well, it's not for Kyrie and KD. They tried that once.
Yes.
What it is in the short term, it's a way, you know, they can take money. Today we reported Ed Davis from the Jazz comes with 2 second-round picks. The Jazz are getting some money off to do some other things in free agency. And so, you know, I think for the Knicks, it's a chance to gather up draft picks by taking on salaries. They can take a flyer at a guy like Gordon Hayward. What they're trying to do are gather assets, picks, and so that when the next big player becomes available in a trade, maybe next year, they're in position to have more assets to be able to go out and get that player. They don't have the assets to trade for a big star. And then obviously, with the space come trying to get back in the free agent.
Does that sound familiar, Bart?
Yeah, it sounds real familiar. telling you because you've been reading your Cliff Notes.
Well, no, no, it's just, but that's the common knowledge, I guess. But it's, here's the point, is you have to look at the last couple of years and how many times a star became available. And as much as people want to mock the Knicks and mock, you know, the idea of nobody wants to come there, how many, like, Kawhi Leonard wanted to trade from San Antonio. One of the teams on his list was
Knicks.
Yeah. Okay, so Kyrie Irving wanted out of Cleveland. One of the teams on his list was
Knicks.
Anthony Davis wanted out of New Orleans. One of the teams on his list was
Knicks.
Right. What is the problem with those names that I just gave you and why the Knicks didn't get those players?
Nobody came and they didn't seem like they were competent enough.
They didn't have anything. They had no assets. They didn't have anything to give you. They had nothing to offer. That's the problem. Star players became available. They all said, love to come to New York. Play for the Knicks, sure. And then the problem was they had nothing to offer. So other teams swooped in and got those players and you didn't. So how do you fix that problem? You gather your assets and you wait. Just like Woj said, you just wait in the weeds for that next player. And I'm telling you, the added piece to this is the relationship factor. You have an agent who represented some of the biggest name in the sport who's now running your franchise. You have his right-hand man in World Wide West who knows every player in the league. He's got his ear to the he knows everything going on in the league. He knows all the gossip. You have that guy. So you have that going on. They should know. You have a guy on your coaching staff, Kenny Payne, who was at Kentucky. 31 players in the league played at Kentucky. Like, so he knows all these dudes. So if somebody's like, you know what, I'm itching to get out, you would hope one of those three guys knows. And if that's the case, you build up your assets, you get yourself ready, and when it's time to pounce, you pounce.
So in 2 years,
that's the smart move that no one's seeing, and none of us will know it's going to happen. But I don't want us to know. I want them to know. So then I will feel good about the future.
So you're waiting for, like, you know, like talk about laying in the woods, like maybe the Phoenix Suns is able to, you know, make a trade and get Chris Paul to kind of maybe be a finishing piece for some young players and talent that they've been acquiring for a while.
No, I'm not even talking about that. Everybody knew Chris Paul was going to get moved. I'm talking about you didn't know that, like I said, and this is just a hypothetical. 6 o'clock today is when the Utah Jazz can say to Donovan Mitchell, here's your max extension. Go ahead and sign it. What if they already know that Donovan Mitchell is going to say to them, I'm all set. I'd rather test free agency. I don't think, I'm not sure about long term here. I don't know if I'm comfortable here. Whatever it is, right? They had an ownership change. You say whatever you want. Let's just say he's going to do that. They know this already and now are just preparing to make that move. I'd rather they know stuff like that. You know, De'Aaron Fox, you know, or he's not happy. They just drafted maybe his replacement. And he just says to them, you know what? I'd rather get out of here. I'm not going to sign your extension when you offer it to me next year. So let's part ways. Maybe they already know that. That's what I want them to know. I don't want anybody else to know about it but them. And we see it. We don't see it coming. That's what I want to see. So we'll see if it happens. All right, lastly, because I tease this, we got to pay it off. So the other big rumor is, of course, what the Nets are going to do is they're building up this team now around two stars in Kyrie and KD. But the belief is that as James Harden wants out of Houston and has made it pretty clear he has no interest in the future with Houston, that the Nets are in hot pursuit of getting James Harden. Now, the Philly would love to get involved. The Sixers would like to get involved in that, too, because, as we know, Daryl Morey is there now in Philly. So the belief is the Nets can offer players that they have that are current players like LeVert, Dinwiddie, and whatever they want when it comes to draft picks because they're all about win now. And if you add James Harden, the Nets become the favorite to win in the East to win the championship. If you ask me, favorite. By far, they might even be the favorite in the league. So with that in mind, the feeling is Nets are all in. Whatever it takes, they want to get this guy. It's a matter of time. Sean Marks talked to the media this morning. And he kind of pumped the brakes on that belief. Take a listen to this.
I think that's such an important aspect of this where, you know, our culture is important. Getting this group prepared in such a short time, like you mentioned. So I do think, you know, it's the I don't know if it's the ugly part of the business, the strange part of the business, the awkward part. And I think it needs to be discussed. And, you know, I've talked to several of our players about this and just said, look, forget the rumors. Let's just go out there and concentrate on what we have at hand, and which is the group that's here. And, you know, I would be, you know, I wouldn't be telling the truth if I said, look, nothing's ever going to happen. And at the same time, they understand that this is a business, and let's be prepared. And, you know, I sincerely mean it when, look, I like this group that we have. You know, the group's been together for a while now, and we continue to add some pieces to it. So, you know, training camp is going to be competitive, and it's going to be fun with the group we have. And if things change, things change. Yeah, but yeah, look, I think you have to have those honest conversations, you know, with players as it goes, and not let the rumors sort of just, you know, simmer in the background.
All right, BS translator, what did he say for real?
It's tough, man. He's talking about transparency, talking about, you know, letting his team know what the anticipation, what it is. But with that being said, if you're Dinwiddie or LeVert, how are you feeling? You want to have a different conversation with everybody, the management, saying, hey, you guys not value me. I was one of the players that were here to help build this foundation. You get to say, I don't get to see it go across the finish line. You know what I'm saying? Are you saying that, you know, this is what they want? So this can create some fraction to me between KD, between Nash, between D'Antoni, and the others, right? Because it seems like on one side you have KD, Kyrie, and DeAndre Jordan. They make all the rules over here, and then everybody else, be damned, we'll let you know. It's like feeling like Kuzman and feeling like Lonzo Ball, and
yeah, you're just looking across the room. How do you have camaraderie if you're feeling like, you know, these guys can't wait to get me out of here to get their guy in here? So how do I really buy in when I know deep down you want me out of here?
Right. So what's that record going to look like?
They've got to be real careful with that. It's very delicate for a big word that they have, which is culture there. So it's worth watching. I think you made it clear. If they can't get him before training camp, I think they're going to have to wait.
Yeah, because if it falls through, Alan, if it falls through, now you're stuck with the guys you got. It's like, oh, now y'all want us? Oh, now you care about me? And then they start getting their own patch and start sharing about themselves and saying, man, forget Kyrie. And then you talk about all the chemistry that you made. And once again, Kyrie Irving will be responsible for damaging the culture of a great organization and a great team by messing it up and saying that the earth is flat.
Well, it hasn't happened yet, but we'll see.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
Bart, we only have 2 minutes here.
Let's do it.
We got to be quick. And this quick segment is driven by your local Lexus dealer. Lexus ES, now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence. Take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See a Lexus dealer. Picks, here we go. All right, you and I both together. Jets, Chargers. Chargers are favored by 9.5. I don't care. It's in L.A. I'm going with the Chargers. I'm going to lay the 9.5. You?
I'm taking charges, but I guarantee you that I'm wrong, because I think that, you know, they're going to find a way to win it, because I feel crazy about it, but I'm going to go with the Chargers too. Reverse psychology.
Okay, go reverse psychology. All right. One of the games that we're both taking the same game, and that's the Falcons Saints game. Now, again, it's Taysom Hill, a quarterback, and apparently Winston's not even going to be part of anything they do. You're suggesting they're just going to go opener with it and be crafty. I'm buying into that Sean Payton's got something up his sleeve, and he knows something about the Falcons that they can't handle whatever he's going to do with Taysom Hill. So I'm taking the Saints, and I'm giving it 3.5. What are you doing?
I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons, because I think they've been one of the most explosive offenses in the league. If you look at Matt Ryan, he's on the top of everybody's list as far as, you know, offensive productivity. And I know they're going to try and bully ball them, but I believe in Keanu Neal. We share the same agent. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a New York Jet next year anyway. By the way, he's one of the hard-hitting safeties. He was Jamal Adams before Jamal Adams.
Quickly.
If anybody remember what he did in the Super Bowl, I'm taking Atlanta straight up, outright. Right. So it's going to be some pressure and some smoke on the NFC South.
All right, 10 seconds to make this last pick. My game is going to be, I'm taking Minnesota over Dallas. Minnesota's laying 7. I don't care. Dallas off a bye. I don't care. The numbers tell me to go against Dallas. I'm doing it.
Quickly, Colts Mark. Over Green Bay. Mic drop, set, match.
Wow. Colts over Green Bay. There you go. Well, we
can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Remember, watch Bart on Sunday and see how miserable he is. Oh, no. You're always looking good, though. Great week as always, Bart. And we'll see what happens to the Knicks with free agency. I'll see you on Monday.
Holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.